Well, good morning again. John and Amy here with Paddles Up.
That's right.
Letting the Christ current take us.
Wait till you hear where it took us this morning.
Yes. So it's really interesting when you just sit and allow and you receive more than push. And we're just, this all started really when I keep seeing these references to reaching outside of ourselves to find some sort of completeness or wholeness. And this is what it looks like. So, you know, when you look at certain circles in the church, and we're looking outside of ourselves for revival, we're looking for an event, mm-hmm. right, to reach towards, to draw towards us. Like, for example, you have worship meetings, and people are well-meaning in this because we used to do this ourselves, you guys. So when we talk about this, we're not being critical. You know, somebody just posted recently, we got to stop criticizing the church when people are just really speaking into it, truth and life.
Right. Is there a better way? Is there a higher way?
Some people are criticizing. We get it. But when you're looking at the red light on the dash in your car, mm-hmm. and you start talking about it, is that criticizing the red light?
Don't criticize the car, even though it's flashing. Yeah. Check engine.
Right. And smoke boiling out of the hood. Oh, look at the smoke boiling out. Oh, well, you stop criticizing your motor. You know, it's just ridiculous.
It's the glory cloud right now. I'm joking.
Anyways, we know there's a critical spirit, but then there's a difference between speaking truth. So anyway,
right.
We saw some of these posts and things and some stuff going on with people holding revival meetings. And we know people are well-meaning in this. They just want God. They're trying to find God right outside of themselves. So we used to do it too. And when the issue is when you're, like, say, for example, a worship meeting or a prayer meeting, oftentimes what we see is people pushing, saying, God, I need you. I want you. God, I really love you. Can't you see that I love you? And so we put our hands in the air.
Tell me what your will is.
We're pulling on the realm outside of us. And we're then in between that, in the same breath, we're going, I rebuke you, devil. I rebuke the darkness around me and in me and all around me. Oh, I love you, God. Oh, I surrender all, you know. So there's a mixture going on, and it's all resistance. Mm-hmm. If you really want to measure this thing scientifically, it's resistance.
Yeah.
So even though we mean well. So what happens, though, when we do the opposite, when we go into receiving and rest mode? To allow something to come towards us, to come in us and rise up in us. So it's not the external so much as it is the internal.
Right.
People are living in cause and effect. That's cause and effect world. But what if, like one awesome guy, teacher says, if you cause an effect, instead of cause and effect, what if you cause an effect
versus by, living by cause and effect?
Yes. By how we understand what's going on in oneness. See, cause and effect signals separation. It signifies that you're living in a separation mindset. But causing an effect, mm-hmm. is from the inside out. So listen to this, and we'll talk really more about this and kind of dig in a little bit, because this is so important to understand about oneness in Christ. In the Mirror Translation in Colossians 2, starting in verse 9, in him all the fullness of deity resides in a human body. That's just mind-blowing right there. The fullness of the God who slung the stars into the universe, the fullness of that deity, the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, in us, in oneness, in a human body.
Yeah.
The word theotis, Godhead, deity, is feminine. Jesus exhibits what the Father, Son, and Spirit is like in human form. Yeah.
Nurturing, loving, gentle. Think of the fruits of the Spirit.
Yeah. The word katoikeia means to dwell in, to inhabit. While the expanse cannot measure or define God, their detailed likeness is displayed in human skin. God is fully at home in him. Mm-hmm. Jesus is God's happy delight to be human. Mm-hmm. And since we are in him, there is no shortfall in us. I love that. Jesus mirrors our completeness and endorses our true identity. He is I am in us.
Yeah.
God packaged completeness in I am, mirrored in you. The word exousia is often translated authority. from I am me, originating out of I am. The days are over where our lives were dictated to under the rule of law of performance and mm-hmm. an inferior identity. It's not about who I used to be or who I'm striving to become. We are celebrating I am. Any teaching that leaves me with a sense of lack and imperfection rather than completeness is a distraction from the truth.
Ooh,
oh, my goodness.
Read that last part again.
Any teaching that leaves one with a sense of lack and imperfection rather than completeness is a distraction from the truth. You guys, this is huge in the church world, huge in religion. Doesn't matter what religion it is, doesn't matter what Christianity in the religious institutional sense, doesn't matter what denomination. If we're reaching outside of ourselves, signifying that we're in lack, and that we need some kind of event to happen before we feel whole, then we're doing just that. It's a distraction from the truth of I am.
Yeah.
With the oneness we already are.
Right. It's almost like that one verse where it says, if you, you know, don't believe, then the Christ on the cross was in vain. You know, and here he's saying, if you leave the feast, the celebration right there of the I am-ness, we're in the celebration of I am.
Yeah.
I am who God is, and I am because of who he is. And so there's no past there's no past in that. I am is there's a none. Now thing. And, oh, man, and don't you just love it? Earlier up in that verse where it says God is happy to dwell
in human body.
And so what are we doing when we are shaming and criticizing and beating ourselves up in this body and
it's reaching outside of ourselves
such
for something?
An indifferent mindset and attitude. And a lot of that stems from our upbringing of what was modeled to us again with these subconscious programmings.
Yeah, and so think about this. So going back to this revival thing, and, you know, there's little sparks of something that happened in Asbury, or if you're not familiar with that, what it simply is people
coming together,
and then God touches down in a certain place because of their hunger, their desire, and then it starts to spread. So the problem with this kind of model is that people are waiting in lack until it comes to their city. And you say that's not true. Yes, it is true, because we've been a part of this. And that may not be in the hearts of everyone, okay? But as a whole, it is true. Because what are we doing? Say I'm in Salem, Oregon, okay? And then this revival is happening in Brownsville in Florida or Toronto or wherever, Asbury, Kentucky. And I'm over there going, God, do it with me. Do it with
what
us,
about
God.
Me, God.
What about me,
What's
God?
What's wrong with me?
Yeah, you did
I
it for them.
I put my time in.
Yeah, I put my time in. I put my warring in. Put my sacrifice in. And you're no respecter of persons.
And you chose the other brother.
Yeah, you chose them. What did they do that I didn't do? Now, we may not say that just like that, but we're certainly thinking it. How do we know? Because we've been there, done that, wore that revival t-shirt clean out. Instead, what if we went higher, guys? What if there is a higher way? And that's causing an effect within ourselves by knowing, by realizing, by receiving, by becoming embedded in and one with our own identity in the I am. So, in other words, I'm a walking, living, moving pillar of the move of God inside of me,
yeah.
Individually
Limitless.
And collectively.
Limitless.
So if we collectively did this individually, guess what happens? The light increases in the earth. We are anchoring the light where we're at.
Yeah.
And the glory of God fills, floods,
right.
Consumes the earth.
Global effect.
Global effect. And we don't have to call it revival. See, revival means you're trying to be revived from something.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to get your pulse back. Somebody's jumping on your chest through CPR trying to get you to come to life because you ate too much meat, you know? And it's like, okay, instead of that terminology, instead of that thought process of separation and lack, why don't we become the I am and say, hold on a minute, wait a minute, let me rethink this. But the problem is that religion needs someone to be dependent upon it, okay? And so then it has to teach separation and lack, saying that God's out there and I'm over here.
And I need a middleman.
And I need the middleman to bring me to the event,
because
to bring
God me to God. The middleman more than me, the mindset, you know?
Yes, instead of saying, wait, hold on a minute. How powerful am I? Who am I? Where's my identity? I have no lack. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Do you know what that means? It means when I have no wants, when I have no needs, when I have no desires, I am now operating in causing and effect.
Right.
I'm operating in oneness.
And when you guys...
And wholeness.
When you see this in the science of how when you... Things will come to you now because you're creating a geno response that your body starts preparing to receive this stuff instead of the fight or flight where you gotta either fight for it or run from it. And instead, we are so powerful to create the reality that we experience. And all our cells are eavesdropping on whatever we think or say. They begin to form and create that reality around us. It's just, it's mind-blowing. We don't realize how much power we have. It's like we've all heard it said, there's more power in our little pinky than we could ever imagine. Oh, it's just we're asleep in so many of these areas because we haven't been illuminated with the truth, or we bought a lie, or we were sold a lie. It's like the story of the prince and the pauper. Is the pauper not a prince by DNA rights? But he bought into the lie and subconscious programming that he was a pauper. When all along he was the twin prince. He was related to the prince, identical twin.
Man, I tell you, this is just about everything right here, what we're talking about, guys. Because until we understand this, until we know this, until we're moving in this, will continue to live in lack in every way. We're not just talking monetarily. Lack in identity, lack in love, lack in, you know, feeling that love, right? Mm-hmm. Experiencing that love. Lack in so many different areas. And so what you have is people that run to this event or go to that event, or they feel like they're missing out on the crowds. They feel like they're missing out on the collective whole. They feel like they're missing out on God. So they run to these... Oh, God's touching down over there. You know, again, people mean well and they want to be with others that are experiencing those things. But the issue is that really you've got to ask yourself at the core, why? Why do we feel that we have to run to be with the crowds when God in the great I am inside of us, the Godhead dwelling in bodily form in you and in me and us, can experience absolute bliss, absolute completeness and wholeness in every way by relenting and receiving right where we're at?
And somebody would say, well, you can't forsake the fellowship of brother, you know? It's like, well, wait a minute, the Trinity in you, is that not fellowship?
Exactly. And then out of that wholeness and completeness in your head, in your mind, because it's already true, then you have fellowship with others at that level, that frequency level.
Yes.
That same vibrational level.
Vibrational match versus reaching. You start drawing
those people instead of the needy lack people.
Right. Yes. Yeah, exactly. Because you attract what you are most of the time. That's why they always say, you know, when somebody's like, okay, tell me what do you want. Tell me what you want for a mate. And they're like, boom, 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 boom. And the person goes, well, that's a level 10. And you're not a level 10. And they always say, become what it is you want.
That's right.
And you'll receive them. Become what it is. Become who it is you want, and you will find that match.
Versus, I tell you,
I need that match to complete me because I'm in lack. I'm a 3, and I know if I get a 10, I'll eventually be a 10. It doesn't work that way. You know what you'll do? You will try to pull that 10 down into your 3 mindset, and you will criticize. You will argue with them. You will keep trying to form them into your number three if you're not willing to be a 10 first.
Oh, man.
And so, yeah, you wonder why you have abusive mates or relationships.
It's so true. And have you ever seen a woman, and I have one right next to me, have you ever seen or met a woman that is not reaching outside of herself for beauty, not reaching outside of herself in lack, trying to gain something or put something on or throw makeup on or do the hair and all that in hopes that it will make her beautiful? If you see a woman, she doesn't have to have makeup on. She could be in sweats and a t-shirt, but be radiating oneness, radiating love, mm-hmm. radiating peace,
energy.
Radiating the fruit of the Spirit. And you're just like, whoa, who is that woman? Okay, who is that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Amy doesn't have to do all that stuff. She likes to be an artist and put, you know, makeup on and things like that. But that's why she's doing it. She knows she's already beautiful from the inside out. And people that know her know the same. And so think about this. Guys, and, you know, women, when you meet a guy, when you meet a guy that doesn't have to go into the gym and work out 15 hours a day and pump his muscles all up. Yes, it's great to stay in shape. I'm not talking about that. What radiates out of a man? It's the strength and the courage, but also the feminine side.
Mm-hmm.
Also the sensitive side. And the guy doesn't have to be on steroids with pimples all over his skin, trying to show off something with shrunken testes, trying to show off something that he's really not. Right? It's oneness that radiates wholeness, that says, I am complete. And that is Christ in someone.
Yeah. And this is what they say is the most attractive trait possible to a human being is when you know who you are and you're content. You're not reaching for anybody. You're not reaching for anything. And what that does is it causes a magnetic pull of attraction towards you, versus when you're reaching, it causes a repelling, and you can't figure out why these guys or the girls or the job you want or anything keeps repelling, because you have this energy of like, I need this. And so they can feel that desperately, and they're like, whoa, okay, I don't want to be a part of that. you know, it just repels. And think how often the self-talk that we're having is repelling so many things from us, the very things that we want. And so I think in God's wisdom, there's an allowance for this until we wake up and we see that, oh man, when am I going to start believing? How many times did Jesus say, if you'll just believe, only believe, only believe, only believe, and it is so. Only
fear,
believe, and it
fear
is so.
Not.
This is the way, right?
This is the way.
Mandalorians.
So that's what the appeal is. A side note on Mandalorians. The appeal of Mandalorian, whether people realize this or not, it's a spiritual thing.
Mm-hmm.
It says there is a higher way. There's a higher way of looking at life. There's a higher way of doing things. You see the frailty of the Mandalorian, you know, in his hiccups and things like that, that, you know, you can see that he's human,
mm-hmm.
right? But you also see another level of oneness to the Mandalorian saying, this is the way, this is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
This is who we are. And it's the higher heart-centered way to help humanity.
Yeah, the I am-ness in a way.
The I am-ness. But you also see the frailty of the human. That's relatability. Frailty equals relatability. Mm-hmm. It doesn't equal weakness. It doesn't have a definition of weakness according to God's definition.
And
right?
That the power isn't always in the militant stance. It's in Grogu, in his simple childlikeness, and releasing the power of the Spirit.
Yeah, the baby Yoda.
Grogu.
So if you're not into that, oh well, you're missing out. But anyway, anyway, it's just an example of those that Mando.
This is the way.
Beeps. But the point being is you have wants and needs, right? But wants plus needs equals separation.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because the separation mindset says, I still have needs and wants to make me feel complete, or make me feel...
living out of the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Whole,
laborious labors and annoyances.
It really does. And how do you get those? It's like when Joe Dispenza talked about it once. He said, listen, you can do this route of egoic gaining. Mm-hmm. Right. And what that means is you can sweat it out. You can go out there and work your two or three jobs. You can go out there and laborious it out, trying to get something and make it happen and get your needs and wants met. Okay, that's one level. Doesn't mean it's inherently evil, although the definition of evil means laborious hardships and toil. But it doesn't necessarily mean you're a bad person. What it means is we bought into conditioning that mm-hmm. says that it has to be one way. If you don't work, you don't eat.
Right.
So, how many times have you heard a preacher say that, or somebody say that, or a parent, or somebody that loves you says, look, if you don't get your hiney out there and work at McDonald's or work at some fast food joint, at least it's a job, Johnny. Mm-hmm. At least it's a job. Go out there and work a job.
But what if there's a higher way to go about it?
What if there is a higher way? Get my book, Effortless Provision, and you'll see it.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. The Lord lays it out there.
But the point is that we can either live that way, okay? You can live that way. You can keep going down that route.
Yeah. Whatever but you want to create.
At what cost?
Right.
Is it costing you your health? Is it costing you your marriage? Is it costing you your family? Is all of this laborious hardship and hard work that you feel so honorable in, what is that doing to your life?
Yeah, and is it sustainable? Oh my goodness, we all know it isn't. And we all know we're craving for something greater than that. And that's why there is a higher realm to live. And that's why Jesus brought the kingdom and taught the kingdom. That was his greatest mission, was coming and reminding us of who we are and bringing the kingdom. And he's simply asking, just become teachable again. You can leave this mindset that you were subconsciously programmed in and step outside of it into the I am-ness and embrace what I'm telling you. This is good news. I tore the veil. You don't have to live in this veiled mindset anymore, in uncertainty and in the unknown, that you can be led by the Spirit. And yes, it takes time sometimes because we're getting reprogrammed, but let us all be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to just keep just removing all these poor beliefs and things. And let's begin to side with him again and what he says about us.
Live out of your head, and it will keep the hard work and separation fed.
Yeah.
You think about this for a second.
That's
think,
good.
Think media. Think.
Now, we love Sean Connell.
We love him. But
totally love him.
Thinking.
We're just talking about the phrase.
Yeah. Thinking keeps you drinking the Kool-Aid of hard work, laborious sweat and toil.
Bitter waters.
Bitter waters. Bitter waters of separation.
Mm-hmm.
Separation equals I don't know who I am. I don't know the I am. I don't know who I am. And so it keeps us running in these mad egoic cycles that say, hey, you know what? If I grind it out, I will get it. If I grind it out, I can make it happen. If I grind it out, I'm going to live the best life now. No, you're not. Oh. No, you're not. And you know it's true. We know it's true. But somebody's got to shoot the elephant in the room and don't eat it. We don't eat the elephant, this elephant. We don't eat it. What we do is we go, okay, I recognize it. Now I'm awakened. That's true awakening, guys. Mm-hmm. You want to look what awakening is? You want to know what real, genuine, authentic heaven awakening is? This is it, what we're talking about. This is the way. So... when we awaken, now the fun, juicy stuff comes, because then we cause an effect by where we go. The shadow hits the people.
Yeah, like
the
Peter.
Shadow that, by the way, is not striving and forcing and resisting. A shadow follows.
Yeah, and chasing down.
Yeah, a shadow is. A shadow just is, mm-hmm. right? It's the I am. So when the shadow falls wherever we walk, now we're causing an effect because it's healing people.
Yeah. You think
about... No striving.
I was just thinking this morning about the word believe. And think of it in this term. Be, live. Believe. Be, now live. Be, now live. So what, you know, who Christ said we are. It's just so powerful. And it's just, it all comes down to choices, doesn't it, you guys? Just, and this is why, again, we're learning with science. 5% of the time you're in your conscious state. The rest of the time you're on maintenance mode of the subconscious leading your life. 95% of your day.
That's
it's,
crazy.
It's in, what do you call it? You know, when your car's driving itself?
It's an autopilot.
Autopilot. Right. And only 5% you're conscious of. Woo! Talk about seizing that window to start turning the ship.
Yeah, if we flip
Jesus,
it.
Jesus, take the wheel.
That's right. If we flip it, now we've got 95% conscious, and this is Christ consciousness. This is Christ consciousness, guys, when we live 95 to 100% out of the time,
mm-hmm.
living in the now, living
and
in,
this
the,
is
in
why,
the moment of the I am.
This is why it's such a big key in meditation. So when you're soaking and meditating, you don't have to just simply being there like, oh, okay, I'm here. I hope something happens. No, be intentional. So what you have a moment to do now is you're in a conscious state and you can now start creating and feeling your future and start triggering those genes to start creating the proteins to receive your future. Calling it to you, of just who you are, your I amness. You can say, well, I don't know my future. I don't know what I'm supposed to believe and feel of my future. Well, let's just start 101, your I amness. What does it feel like to have Christ within you, the whole Godhead, the whole heaven culture? I'm in. You're an innie. Start practicing what that feels like. And you start programming a new hard drive of your identity. And this is why it's so important. And we think, oh, it's not working. Well, we've got to take the time to rewrite the script internally. But it can happen like that if we will just step into this quantum realm when you're soaking. And so...
Totally.
And just this is why the Lord said to meditate. Think on these things because you're getting a
because
new download
you already
program.
Are. You already are. You know, think on these things because that's who you are.
Mm-hmm.
See, Christ in us. This is such a mystery that is made simplicity. It's made simplistic because Jesus said, look, unless you become like little children, unless you become so pliable and moldable by receiving
mm-hmm.
who you already are. See, a child is so... so moldable, right?
Yeah,
when they're in their theta brainwave by receiving and soaking it in, they are so moldable and pliable and teachable, right? That's why he said, become like, and you will by no wise see the kingdom or experience the kingdom within. Where's the kingdom? Within you.
Yeah.
See, when we move past the child sponge stage, okay, and we start reasoning things out.
That's what I was just going to say.
That's the moment we lose touch with the I am.
Yeah.
It's a moment, it's not that it's not true. It's always there. The Godhead's always there. But we lose touch in our psyche because we've now went back to the programming that says, I have to reason this out. I don't see an event happening outside of me. Where is the change? Where is the goods? Why don't I feel whole? But see, it's the exact opposite. What does a child feel when they're playing? They feel whole. They feel complete.
And they can see with their imagination, right?
They just feel it's taken care of. It's done. It's done.
In their tea parties, they're actually drinking the tea.
That's it.
You
they
know?
See it. So they experience it as if it's real.
Yes.
As if it's whole.
And they act it out. But their body doesn't know the difference. Their body's actually responding as though that really is happening. So you're programming. It's just... Oh, how fun, you guys. Have fun exploring the science side that is the evidence of so much of what we're talking about.
And does a child go and chase down their provision? No, a child doesn't even have the consciousness, the subconscious programming to go and to say, where's my meal? Where's my dinner? Where's my new car? Where's my where's my mate? Where's my why isn't it happening? Why isn't it happening? Why isn't it happening? When mom and dad that love them, of course, you've got parents that love them, mom or dad or a guardian, whatever, goes to that child and said, hey, we're having this for dinner. Okay. Or they, sometimes the child is so much in play, they don't even acknowledge. They don't even acknowledge because they don't care. They don't care about the future ahead of them so much as they're experiencing it right now in their play with the tea or the soldiers or whatever they're dealing with. So that when mom or dad or somebody comes along and says, hey, we're having chicken for dinner or whatever, hey, you know, whatever it is, okay. Or they'll just say, little Tommy, hey, did you hear me? Even if that goes on, the little child is blanked out because they are receiving in sponge mode the moment they're in. This is why, guys, it is so important to just know that there's already happening for us. And guess what? That dinner chases that child down. That child didn't have to go out and work for it. Right?
Yeah. And so it's the taking every thought captive, isn't it, you guys? We know we're more powerful than we realize to create. And so many times we are experiencing the reality of what we have created with our spoken word and thoughts. Because we're little G's, you know? We're little G's and we... Yeah. God is go forth and create, you know. So
yeah. So just to kind of recap, I could just hear somebody saying, "How do I do this again?" don't look for a formula. That's the intellect. That's the egoic realm that wants to look for a certain formula. So if you want to quote formula, if you want to call it that, fine. But the way in is to go in. And how do we do that? We relent from trying to find something outside of ourselves. God, an event, needs, wants, all of that. And what we do is we remain postured throughout our day in receiving mode. Receiving not something external, receiving internal, the bubbling up, the God truths within us. Hearing this still small voice within us that's already complete, the oneness speaking to us from the inside out, saying, you are already whole, you're already there, I'm already one with you, you're one with me, I and you, you and me, John 17, one that we are one. What Jesus was trying to get to us to understand while he walked the planet was, guys, you're already in. I've already taken care of this from the foundation of the world. You're already in. Don't look outside yourself. Look within. The kingdom of God is within you.
That's right.
So,
but he won't override our free will. If we want to choose to experience outside of the kingdom by our words and thoughts, then that's what we'll keep experiencing.
That's it.
But and the door is always open. We're already in. It's an illusion. We're creating the illusion.
We are.
By our thoughts and words. And that's the only thing. Remember what they said? They, when it was talking about the cross and Jesus on the Christ, and it was the separation in their mindsets what kept them distant from receiving the full truth of the good news. So it all comes down to our mindsets,
and
what
that
we're
way,
actually choosing to experience.
Yeah, that way, when we remain postured like this throughout our day, in that receive mode, what we do is we become the effect.
Yeah.
We're causing an effect.
Things will shift
the
around
effect.
You.
Things will come to us. They'll start coming to us. See, there's nothing more magnetizing than joy. Within us.
Right, because that's faith.
Joy, peace, shalom, all these things that signal completeness, wholeness. That's what shalom is. You know, shalom, you want to talk about Hebraic stuff. Shalom, the word shalom means completeness. It means wholeness.
Yes.
So if we walk in a daily shalom, we walk in a daily wholeness and completeness, then stuff will start being added to us.
Yeah, seek you first, won't be repelling it
seek
anymore.
Seek first the kingdom of God within you, and all these things will be what? Added to you.
Yes.
They'll be magnetized to us.
Yeah.
Magnetized to us.
Stay seated.
Stay seated and don't buy into the world's stuff about looking for outward for things. Don't buy into it. We've done it for too long, Amy and I.
It's
we've done
never
it too
enough,
long.
Right?
And it's no more. It's like, well, wait a minute. We've got this backwards, guys. Mm-hmm. So we're all being reprogrammed. We're all being challenged. We're all being awakened. This is the way. This is the awakening right here, right now. So just enjoy it. Go in.
Yes.
Allow instead of forcing. Receive instead of causing something in your own strength to try and happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see a major shift in your life.
That's right. You'll see a major shift in your life. Yes. And you are free to totally... allowed to work on yourself. Make yourself your mission first before you're going to go out and try to win everybody else and get distracted by everybody else because you don't want to take the time to go inward. Man, it's 101 first, right?
And it's not selfish.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love yourself and you love your neighbor. It's just, you know, there's a way, right? How can you love your neighbor if you can't love yourself first? It's an energetic thing too. So, but we're all in it. We're all working on receiving. It is not just an oxymoron. Working on receiving.
From
you just
within.
Have to allow, you guys. I'm telling you, just about every morning, you know, because of the programming, right? Be in the morning, oh God, I need help with this, or I need help with that, or, oh, thank you, Lord, I praise you, Lord. You know, you go into this energy thrust like that, and the Lord will just whisper, he goes, just drop in to my love, drop in to the abundance, drop into my spirit. And it's so refreshing, isn't it? I mean, feel the energetic shift of that. Drop into it and enjoy the ride. So it's paddles up, right, you guys?
That's
it. Paddles up and enjoy who he is and who you are.
Okay.
All right. Take care, you
we
guys.
Love you.
Love you tons.
Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.